Good evening. Back in Kentucky, March Madness means the basketball tournament, but from the weather we've been having this last week, I think you all have a different meaning for it. But it's very good to be here. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad to see all of your smiling faces out tonight. And especially if you're visiting with us. I'm glad that you're here, not just because I like meeting new people, but because you're here to do something with us that we love to do, and that's worship God. We're so thankful that you're here, and if you can, stick around afterwards. Let us get to know you a little bit, and we'll go from there. If you would, open up your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew, the 28th chapter, I want us to start by reading the last two verses in Matthew's Gospel. Starting in verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here Jesus commissions his apostles, his disciples, his followers, to go out into all the world preaching the gospel of Jesus. We call this the Great Commission so often because this is the greatest task that we face as Christians, is going out into all the world telling people about Jesus. This is what our whole lives are supposed to be about, is telling people about Jesus. And here Jesus says, what I want you to do is I want you to tell them about, I want you to tell these people, all nations, about me in a way that they will be disciples of me. And he issues the same charge to us today. This is a very serious charge for all of us. Everybody who wears the name of Christian, wears the name of Christ, someone who has died in him and lives now in him. We are issued the same charge today to go out into all of our world, all of the world that we have, all the world around us, and preach the gospel to everybody that we see. Tell everybody that we meet about Jesus. And you know, this is going to sound silly when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is going to require us to talk to sinners. Too many of us are uncomfortable with that idea, despite us all being sinners. We're uncomfortable with the idea of talking to people about Jesus. And so many of us, we have no problem talking about sports or talking about politics or talking about our schoolwork with people that we don't know or people that we just meet on the street, people in the market. But we have a hard time talking about this. Luckily, Jesus leaves us with some great examples about how to do this. And today, this is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at three examples of how Jesus spoke with sinners and how Jesus was speaking with sinners. So if you would, open up your Bibles to John, the eighth chapter, and we'll start our study there. In John, the eighth chapter, starting in verse 2, it reads this. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest and even to the last. And Jesus was alone, or left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman and said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She says, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." We start here in John, the 8th chapter, and Jesus is teaching in the temple like he so often does. And as he's teaching in the temple, scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, come up to Jesus, trying to test him, trying to find some way to trap him. And they bring an adulterous woman, someone who is caught in the very act of adultery. And they throw her in the midst and say, "What do you do with her? What are you going to do with her? What should we do with her?" Here Jesus comes face to face with a sinner. And we don't know if Jesus knew this woman any more than anyone else. Granted, Jesus is God and that he knows all things as God. He even, as Matthew 10 verse 33 says, knows the hairs on, can number the hairs on your head. Now granted, for some of us that's a little less of a feat than with others. But still, that's impressive. That he knows that much about every single person. But that's not what I'm saying. This woman, we don't know if he's had any contact with Jesus ever before. We don't know if she had followed him along the way, listening to him teach. We don't know if she had heard the gossip or if he had heard anything about this woman. As best anyone knows, all anyone knew was that she was an adulteress. In fact, we don't even know if she was a Jew or not. But we do know that she was an adulteress, and that is how they present her with Jesus, or to Jesus. And this is who Jesus comes face to face with. Now look what Jesus does and says in this situation. Because I think that this is important, that we look at what Jesus does and what Jesus says when he's talking to this lady. This lady that he has no prior experience with. The very first thing that he does is he finds a way, albeit an ingenious way, to get rid of all the distractions between him and this lady. He knew that the scribes and the Pharisees had brought her there because they were looking to trap Jesus. They didn't care about this lady. They didn't care a thing about if she was an adulteress or not, if she lived or died. But they cared if they could trap Jesus somehow. And Jesus found a way to get rid of them. He stooped down and ignored them, basically, waiting for them to get tired. And when they didn't, he said, "Okay, whoever among you is without sin, you throw the first stone. You condemn this person." And as they are convicted, they see what they have done wrong and they leave. To where it's only just Jesus and this woman. And when it's just the two of them, I want you to see what Jesus does. Jesus says, "Woman." Jesus speaks to the woman. This is important because you look at the Pharisees and how they treated this woman. They didn't even treat this woman as a person, as a human being. They found this as some expediency in trying to get rid of Jesus, trying to get Jesus out of their hair, trying to find some way to trap him. They weren't looking at this woman as a person, but Jesus addresses this woman as a person, and he talks to this woman, which is extremely impressive considering the time of the day or the the times when women at this time were not considered as first-class citizens, but often second-class citizens, especially a woman who was caught in the very sin of adultery. This was not somebody that most people would see as their equal, as a human, as a person. But Jesus humbles himself and talks to this woman as a person. Something else that he does, or more the point, that he doesn't do, is that he doesn't condemn her. If you look at what Jesus says, Jesus says, ask the woman, has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, Lord. And in verse 11, Jesus says, well, neither do I condemn you. But look what else he says. He says, go and sin no more. And then finally, he turns to the crowd and to the woman as well. He says that they should all follow him. That's what Jesus says to this lady. And that's how Jesus says this, or how Jesus talks to this lady. Jesus could have said a number of different things to this lady. He could have said, you're an awful sinner. How dare you? How dare you be in my presence? He could have very easily said that. And he was without sin, so he could have very easily been appalled by that. And just as his own word says, as he gave the command, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. Since he was without sin, he could have very well been the first one to throw the stone and killed this woman right there. But he didn't. Instead, Jesus said, I don't condemn you, but you need to stop sinning. And as a matter of fact, why don't you follow me? And if you do, you'll stop sinning and you'll have the light of life. Jesus told this stranger, this woman that he had not had any contact with before, to stop sinning and follow him. And this woman left humbled and happy because of what Jesus said and how he said it. And notice that he didn't take his frustrations with the Pharisees out on her. It's very easy for many of us, when we get frustrated at one person, to take it out on somebody else. And Jesus, time and time again, was frustrated with the Pharisees because they were the religious leaders of the day and they should have known better. And that's something we'll talk about in a little bit. But he didn't do that. He didn't take his frustrations out on her. And he wasn't appalled to talk with such an evil sinner. But rather, he showed compassion on her. And he forgave her. I want you to notice that he gave her simple instructions to follow. Go and sin no more. As a matter of fact, follow me. And then he left her to make the right changes in her life. And to come to grips with what had just happened. So often we run into people, or we run into the same situation as Jesus did here with this woman, with this stranger. We run into people every day at the market or at the school or work or whatever that we just don't really know anything about other than they are living in sin, that they are sinners, like all of us are sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But we know that they are people that so desperately need someone to say what Jesus said to them. Kindly and compassionately saying, I don't condemn you, but you need to stop sinning. Because if you don't, Jesus eventually, on the day of judgment, will condemn you. You'll be condemned by your own actions. And you don't want that. So you need to follow Jesus because he is the only one that can give your life any meaning at all. And they need to hear it in the way that Jesus said it. Not in a condemning or condescending sort of way. Walking up to somebody randomly going, you're a sinner. Let me tell you about the Bible. Let me tell you about Jesus. You'll get a long way with somebody doing that. But we need to talk to them in a loving and compassionate way, the way that Jesus spoke to this lady. We all need to strive to be more like Jesus in these situations. Now, if you would turn just a couple of chapters back to John, the fourth chapter. And I want us to read, and know this is going to be a lengthy passage, but I ask you to bear with me. Starting in verse 3, I want us to read John, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 3, down to verse 26. In verse 3, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So when he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, You've well said, "I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you truly spoke." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Here in John 4, we find Jesus coming across another woman in the town of Samaria, or in the town of Sychar. Jesus on his way back to Galilee from Judea. And I like what it says in verse 4, that he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through. Normally, Jews wouldn't go through Samaria. They saw the Samaritans as half-breeds and lower on the totem pole than they are, not even worth their time. And most Jews, if they were traveling from Galilee to Judea or from Judea to Galilee, they would go around Samaria as opposed to walking through, even though it would be a much shorter trip. That's how much hatred was between these two peoples. But he needed to go through Samaria. And as he comes to the town of Sychar, he sits down at a well, the well of Jacob. And as his disciples go into the city to buy food, which is a great example of swallowing prejudice, a woman comes to him as he's sitting there. And Jesus sees this woman and he decides to take the opportunity to talk to her like he does in so many other times. You always see Jesus taking the opportunity to talk to somebody about how to serve God properly. And he immediately engages her in conversation. He says to this woman, "Would you give me a drink?" The woman is stunned because he is a Jew and she's not only a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. Somebody that a Jew, a male Jew, would definitely not be talking to. And she returns and says, "You don't know who you're talking to, do you? Are you sure you know who you're talking to? I'm a Samaritan woman." And Jesus turns it on her head and says, "Well, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water." At first she's hesitant, but she eventually engages him in this conversation. And she asks him the question about living water. Jesus says that I can give you living water. And she's interested in this. And she eventually engages him in this conversation and she asks questions about the living water that Jesus says that she has, or that he has, and that he has to give. And eventually she asks if she can have that water. Then Jesus does something that to us it might seem a little odd. He says to her, "Well, where is your husband? Bring your husband to me and we'll talk about this more." She goes, "I have no husband." Jesus says, "You're absolutely right. You have five husbands, and the one that you're living with right now isn't your husband." Essentially, what Jesus is doing in this question, he is saying, "You said that I didn't know you. I know you much better than you could ever imagine." And he's also saying, in response to that question that she asked, "Can I have this living water?" Jesus goes, "Well, can you? Can you have this living water?" And as they talk more, the woman realizes that Jesus knows more. And then she asks questions about who is right, religious questions about are the Samaritans right or are the Jews right, trying to push him away, trying to end the conversation. And Jesus answers and explains, "Well, right now the Jews are correct in where to worship. But there's coming a time when where is not the question that you need to be answering or asking, but rather how and why. It's worshiping in spirit and in truth is what will be important." And then at the end of the conversation, the woman tries to dismiss Jesus and says, basically, "Well, that's your opinion. And when the Messiah comes, he'll straighten all this out for us." And that's when Jesus tells her, "Don't dismiss what I've said, because I am the Messiah." This lady was looking for authority, or this lady was trying to debate authority with Jesus. And Jesus says, "I am the authority." Jesus comes face to face with another sinner here, and it's very different from the last time. And she comes to him by accident, and no one is professing her sin. She's not wearing a little scarlet letter on her chest saying that she's an adulteress. But Jesus knows, and Jesus knows something about her. And they talk about something, and they're able to speak. And look what Jesus says to her. First off, Jesus finds common ground with this lady that he has religious differences with. Somebody who is a new acquaintance with him. He tries to find common ground. She knew that she was there to find water, but he was there to give water. And so they started talking about that. And notice that he also talks about something of interest. She was there for the water. And he knew that she was definitely interested in it. And even more than that, she was interested in living water, not going down every day to the well to get it, and the tedious task of doing that day in and day out. And he tells her in a very roundabout or very direct way that he's aware of her sinful lifestyle. And he tells her to worship God in the right way. And he tells her what authority to look for, or look to, for the right answers to her questions. In short, Jesus tells this new friend to stop sinning and to follow him. And you look at how Jesus says all of these things. Jesus wasn't mean or boastful to this woman. He didn't come up to this woman and say, "You're an adulteress and we're going to stone you." He didn't do any of that. But he was gentle and but firm in his dealings with this woman. And he acknowledged her sin, but notice that he didn't condemn her. But rather, he brought a message of hope. That she no longer has to live in the sinful relationship that she is in. And that she can start worshiping correctly very soon. If she would only look to the correct authority. How many people do we know that are just like this? People that we know that are religiously different. People who are secretly thirsting for living water. People with God-sized holes in their lives that need to be filled, that want so desperately for those holes to be filled. People who are living in sin and worshiping the God that they do not know. How many of us do we come across every day that we know like that? These are people who need to hear what Jesus said to this woman. Stop sinning and follow him. And the way that he said it. Not boastful or braggadocious or mean, but in a gentle way, but in a firm way. And we need to be people who speak like Jesus spoke to these people. Now, very quickly, if you would, turn over to Matthew, the 15th chapter. This will be the last passage that we look at. Matthew, the 15th chapter. And look at verses 1 through 14 with me. Then the scribes and Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And when he answered them, he said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever has his father or mother, or says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have also made the commandments of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand: what goes into the mouth of defiles a man, or does now what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but not, I'm sorry, excuse me, verse 11, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then the disciples came to him and said, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you say these things?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch.'" Here Jesus is interrupted by the Pharisees as he's speaking with his disciples. And actually, he's in a meal with his disciples. But the Pharisees come and they ask a question about the traditions of men, the traditions of the elders, and why they don't follow, or why Jesus' disciples don't follow those traditions. And Jesus knew very well what they were there for. And Jesus had a lot of interaction with the Pharisees. They were not strangers to him. He had a lot of interactions. They were constantly dogging his footsteps, either trying to learn from him or trying to trap him in some way. But I want you to look at how Jesus interacts with the Pharisees, these people that he knew very well. The very first thing that I want you to notice is that they ask him why his disciples don't follow the traditions of the elders. their traditions, their man-made religion that they had established around what God had wanted them to do. They asked him that. And Jesus responds very quickly and very forcefully. Look at what he says. He says, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions?" He flat out tells them that they are sinning by what they are doing. He doesn't pull any punches. He's not, "Well, you know, we've got to talk about this thing. You know, you're doing this." He doesn't say that at all. He flat out tells them and tells all the people around, make sure all the people around them know exactly what he's saying, that these people are sinning by doing this. And he makes it very clear that their hearts are not right with God. And they need to stop being hypocrites and start flying right. I want you to look at how Jesus says these things. He firmly condemns them to their face. Oftentimes when we're talking to our religious friends and we come to a disagreement on something, we'll talk about something and then we'll go, "Okay, we'll agree to disagree." And then as we leave, we go, "I can't believe that person. I can't believe why they say those things. They're just absolutely wrong. They're crazy for believing that." That's not what Jesus does here. Jesus goes, "You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And this is the way you're supposed to be looking at it." He forcefully tells them that they are not right with God. But I want you to also notice that he doesn't do this out of spite or out of frustration. Yes, Jesus was often frustrated with the Pharisees. Yes, Jesus was often mad with them. But he didn't do it out of frustration or anger. He did it out of a sense of urgency because the time was quickly passing. And they needed to start doing what God wanted them to do. Start obeying God. And also because he knew they could handle it. Imagine if Jesus had spoken to one of the other women like that. They would have turned him off like that. It wouldn't have been worth wasting their breath for. But Jesus knew that they would take those words and listen to them. And you can see that they listened and they understood what Jesus was saying because that's eventually what put him on the cross. Whether they chose to accept it or not, that's how they needed to hear it. Essentially, what Jesus does is he tells his old friends to stop sinning and follow him. So many of us are surrounded by people that we know very well, who claim to know the Bible very well, and yet are sinning in one way or another. We need to be the people who speak to them like Jesus spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, firmly telling them that they are sinning. Forcefully telling them that they are not right with God. That this sin that you're doing, that is wrong. The Bible says so. We can't pull any punches when we do that. But we also shouldn't do it out of spite or frustration. I know oftentimes the people that I speak with of different religions or different faiths, I get frustrated. I get frustrated because in my mind it's so clear and in their mind what they believe is so clear. And we have a hard time coming to grasp on that. But we shouldn't talk to each other out of frustration. We shouldn't talk to these people out of spite. But we should talk to them out of a sense of urgency. A sense of urgent hope. That because Christ is coming again soon. And that the time is swiftly passing away. But we also need to keep in mind, we should only do this to people that we know can handle it. Just like Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, like that. As we close, I want us to think about these three things again. These three instances again. In John the 8th chapter, Jesus told a stranger to stop sinning and to follow him. In John the 4th chapter, Jesus told a new friend to stop sinning and follow him. And in Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus told his old friends, the Pharisees, to stop sinning and to follow him. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that we are told to go out into all the world and preach, to stop sinning and to follow Jesus, the Christ, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Master of all, and the judge of us all in that last day. We also need to do this with forceful compassion and a sense of urgent hope, just like Jesus spoke to everyone he ever did speak with. When we go back out into the world and start speaking with sinners, we need to remember this lesson. We need to remember that Jesus spoke differently to different people, but the message was always the same. And this is what our message needs to be to everyone that we meet. Now is the time that we offer the invitation to anyone who needs to make their lives right with God. Whether you're a Christian who's fallen away or someone who's never been baptized for the remission of your sins, we implore you to stop sinning and follow him. If we can help you in any way, let us know right now as we stand and sing.